The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And we are live in Arkansas, and we are really excited about the final hour of the program. And we've got a busy day with a 100-year check, of course, and Sam Pittman. We talked to the chancellor at Arkansas here last night. We talked to Tebow and Laura and Tessitore. And really looking forward to our final guest. And it is the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference on just another very calm day in college football. Good afternoon, commissioner.
Did anything happen today?
I don't pay attention to Twitter.
You and I intersect in person on big days. That's what's happened.
We tend to do that. It's great to see you. Let's talk about Arkansas and being here first. And I know you've had a lot of traveling already, and the season's barreled. We're not even into the second week, but last week I saw you popping in quite a few places. I know it had to feel great to see fans excited and football games being played.
It was. So I started in Knoxville. It was a driving tour. My wife was with me. It was actually fun. We haven't done that, I don't know, if at all during my commissioner time. So we started in Knoxville, good win for the Vols. Went up to see the defending national champions in Lexington and a volleyball match on Friday night, and then down to Charlotte. Just a great atmosphere. And obviously two great defenses and good win for Georgia. And then I was at a soccer match in Athens and Labor Day without Lane Kiffin in Atlanta. But the spirit of Lane Kiffin and his football team played really well. It was fun to watch the defense and the offense at Ole Miss. Get a really good win to close out a good few days for the SEC.
Well, and it's certainly great to see you here. And the intersection of what's happening here tomorrow night, certainly on everyone's mind, including yours, with future member Texas showing up.
I was here in 2004. I tweeted out I have the game program from 2004. Mike Slive and I flew up. We were here. I bet you we landed 3 hours before the game, Paul, and I've never seen, at least at that time, so many private planes at the airport. It was unbelievable. We had to take a shuttle bus to get into the FBO to come to a meeting. And good game that night, and it's hard to believe it's been 17 years. And it was on September 11th. So that's the look back, September 11th, 2004, and we're back to that tomorrow. So that's the look back, and you're just reminded of what's ahead. And these two universities and two football programs have a long and storied history. I was here listening to Jerry Jones when they opened the academic center that his family was a part of, Jerry and Gene, just talking about the memories of playing here against Texas. And I heard Frank Broyles tell stories about those memories. So special to be here for this weekend, but special for us and what lies ahead as a league.
So that has been what you're doing. While you've been doing all this and running the SEC and doing a lot of other things as well, there has been quite a bit of news. The Big 12 today with announcements coming left and right from various teams. And I just want to listen to your thoughts on that, because we all know what has been said. We all know the position that you have been put in, but what is your reaction to what's going on elsewhere?
I accept the fact there's going to be change around college sports. I think been probably consistent with you over time. We set a tone that, as difficult as the decisions and change, and it hurts to impact relationships, because Bob Bowlesby and I have had an outstanding working relationship. I want that to continue, but it would continue a bit differently. And so today's news is not that surprising to me, I guess. The fact that universities and conferences would make decisions. I feel badly for Mike Oresko, yet I think I've been clear that the opportunity presented to us when the two universities reached out and asked about the opportunity with us, in a respectful way. We looked at our future, looked at a pretty remarkable fit and a pretty remarkable opportunity, and there are dominoes to that. So I've always accepted that fact. I've watched, in fact, I read a couple articles that I've just put aside where they're less than complimentary of me from perspectives. But Paul, you and I have talked about the college football playoff, why 12 teams works, how do you make these decisions? It's never easy, it happens quickly. But I'm excited about our future, and I say that with a smile on my face.
And you should. And I want to get to the playoff question as well. But and clearly, a lot of these questions are not easy to answer. But does the move today have any impact on Texas and Oklahoma coming into the SEC sooner than the expected date?
Not at this time, and there's a lot of speculation. You may have people engage in, there's no way this works on that timeline, but there are reasons that we've identified that timeline, the relationships that exist between the University of Texas, University of Oklahoma, and the Big 12. It's a time of change. So that the period on the end of the sentence is, I'm focused on 2025, but we always have to adapt. And so I'll read today's news with some interest, but not with great alteration of plans at this point.
And again, you've answered the question, but if it goes according to what is being said, and a lot's being said, then you have Texas and Oklahoma as part of that league for however long. For someone who just pontificates, and doesn't have to execute in the process, and I want to get to that in a second, it seems rather awkward.
Well, life can be awkward at times, right? That's like, maybe that's my t-shirt slogan of the day. But we started with the expectation of an orderly transition, and we have identified that. But life throws things at you from time to time.
And I asked this to Hunter Yurecek, and he was diplomatic, as I'm sure you'll be. But I still want to ask you, because fans to this program and every other show are curious, whenever that is, whether it's in 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, or whenever the end date is, what is the SEC going to look like? I think Hunter told us there at your meeting recently there were 27, 47, I don't know, maybe 3,000 different iterations of what the league. I can't remember what he said, but it was a lot.
From a scheduling standpoint, yes. Or what is the league look like?
What's the league look like under scheduling standpoint?
Because when you said like 27 or 47, there are a bunch of like ADs running to the phone and conference commissioners getting nervous. So just
let me pull that one back for a second.
The number of members, because 16 is a good number. I will tell you, I once was asked, so I'm going to come back to that. I was asked at a luncheon, when does the number of conference members become unwieldy? It was a good use of a word at a Rotary luncheon. And my observation was at two. Because when there's one, you can serve their interest. Once there's two, there's always competition. But 16 is a good number, so I'm clear.
Well, if I could pause on my own question and follow up, because people keep thinking that this league will expand more in the future. I have not seen you in this good of a mood in a while. It just almost seems
we're outdoors, we're on campus, so yeah.
I'll withdraw the question.
Well, question. So let's go back to the original question. And I mean that. We're outdoors, we're together, there's good things happening. I'm looking forward to our future, and that future goes back to your original question, which I completely diverted. So this is not the Greg Sankey show, this is Paul Feinbaum show, so I apologize for the jump there. We had an in-person meeting of our 14 athletics directors a couple weeks ago. First time we've introduced 16 team formats, and you'll recall my observation, blue sky thinking, let's look at the big picture. So let's not have a circumstance where a team traveling to another team takes 12 years for that to happen. That's a beginning principle. Then how many formats? I'm not sure what number he quoted. I think we were in the 40s of options. We narrowed some things down. We still have flexibility around the number of games. The Alliance introduction was interesting, but what's been represented to me is there's still an interest in playing games. You look at the crowd in UCLA last week from LSU. I was there with A&M a few years back, and those are important to us. The Clemson-Georgia matchup. So those things continuing on are important. Take that back to us, and what's the right number of conference versus conference games? Could that change? Yes, that could change. And all that dodging I've done for the last 6 years has just been, you never know what the future holds. But on this one, we're going to have a committee of all 16 involved athletics directors looking at remaining issues. Our next step is likely to conduct a survey of that group to say, what are your priorities and what are your needs? And to let them do that outside a room, bring it in, talk through those principles, those ideas, and then start to get down to who fits where and what models are the priority. That's like a lot of work.
Sounds like a working group. And speaking of working groups, there's been a lot of conversation.
I didn't use that word. It's Committee of the Whole.
I mean, there's been an enormous amount of column inches written lately about the original working group that you were part of and where the 12-team playoff is right now. Some people are literally writing it off, saying it's done. You're part of that original. You're part of the group. Where are we?
So let's start from, like, the fundamentals. The fact that there are subcommittees or working groups of the college football playoff, that's not new. That's actually a format for efficient work. So as we pick championship host sites, that's a committee of, I think, four people. Doesn't involve me. A lot of interest in a recommendation, and they bring forward a recommendation year by year. And so the notion that there'd be a smaller group is not an anomaly. Also remember, we've gone through tremendous change in leadership positions of conferences. So, you know, Bob and I, for example, were the two most lengthy tenured at the time of the appointment or involved. You know, Larry was around at the time, and we had different interests. You know, I've had a team in it every year. We've had teams play in the national championship, the only time that's happened. Others have been left out. I've not called for more. Others have called for more. So there are a lot of interests in there. And our challenge was just put your logos aside and think through football. And so through the lens of the SEC Network, I take that responsibility seriously. That was the charge. And if you look at 12 and you're going to expand a playoff, you're going to go to 6. Okay, that's iterative. But there's an expectation for conference allocations, like automatic qualifiers is the term. Are you going to go to 6 and not have the best teams involved but give automatic qualifiers? Well, that didn't make a lot of sense. Go to 8 and give 5 automatic qualifiers? Well, I don't think that's justifiable at 5. So then you go to 6. You might only have 2 of the best teams beyond that. That didn't make a lot of sense. It's 6 conference champions. You give pretty broad access to emphasize the importance of conference champions. And then you ensure the next 6 best teams are involved. I think 3 of the last 4 years, that's the top 12. There's a lot of health in that. The likelihood that the team plays 17 games is relatively small. But where are we? We're in this thinking, listening, learning. There's another data point, which is several points, I guess data points, of membership transition now. Well, that's new information. When we talked in June, I knew that we could come to the end of September and not make a decision. In fact, I wasn't convinced our conference would say, let's decide now and let's go early. So while things have changed, the process laid out is exactly what we want. And I read this comment that not everybody was involved in developing the format. It's exactly right. But everybody will be involved in analyzing the format, making decisions about the format, providing feedback on the format. That was the plan always. That hasn't changed. And that's a really healthy way to go through work. And we'll see where people come out. You see positions being communicated in media articles. I've seen a lot of anonymity and then others taking positions. But I'm fairly open to the dialogue. I
mean, those are all very substantive comments in terms of how the process works. However, you're the only person who some, whether publicly or privately, seem to be blaming for how we got there. I know that doesn't necessarily run concurrent to what you just got through saying, but you do seem to be the, and it bothers me as someone who I believe I know better, and I know I've asked you this before, but it has to be frustrating, as well as everything is going for your conference, to still be the one being blamed for everything that has gone wrong with that process, even though nothing has really happened.
And I'll walk back to a Thursday when the 12-team format was announced, 2 days before my oldest daughter was getting married, and we were headed to our first dinner of the weekend, and I was on a press conference communicating. A lot of surprise and shock, right? And in that format at 14 teams, the Big Ten would have had, I think, one more team over 7 years than us, but the SEC and the Big Ten had the most participants. We're seeing transitions in conferences. We could still have the most participants or not. But the format was really healthy and I think was viewed in a healthy way. We could go to eight and I could have from the SEC most of the participants. The danger is to say, well, every conference needs this place now, because that threatens, I think, the integrity of the championship. And we've built credibility by having the best teams playing. We need to make sure, as we grant more access and bring more conference champions in, we also make sure the best teams in the country are involved. I think that provides a legitimate format. That was the destination, not about what might happen, not about what has happened, but how do you support a healthy football culture? And Paul, I'll give you another piece. We have to look at the entire year of college football, in my opinion, before just making a decision. That means what happens in spring practice, what happens in summer conditioning, what happens in preseason practice, the regular season. I think 12 games will remain an important regular season. How do we spread out the postseason? And then when we're done with the postseason, what happens in the recovery time? Our student athletes have asked us that question. That's why the ability to look at a format, have a conversation, think about whether you go early, which there's probably some health in that, but to think carefully about that was such a valuable piece of the design from the June announcement until later in September. Without predicting, the people who assumed this was automatic and it would just happen after the 23 season, that was erroneous. The expectation was we'd always have important dialogue.
And a lot of these pieces, these think pieces that are being written, and you're included in some of them, talk about the culture of leadership in college athletics today. According to many of us who opine on these subjects are at that top shelf, and many believe you are the most influential person in intercollegiate athletics. How bad is it? Is it as bad as what I'm reading in terms of the toxicity of the relationships between many of the people, including yourself, as one of the leaders, trying to solve these problems?
Not from me, other than, if you will, the turbulence that we've been a part of. And so I'm the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference. I bear that responsibility, and I acknowledge that. To the extent people have called and asked directly, you know, what happened, I've provided perspective. And so I'm certain there's some who are bothered, and I understand that. I understand when conferences have teams depart for another conference, that affects relationships. But I also expect that all of us can come together. When you use the word leaders or leadership, that's a responsibility of leaders and leadership. And I'm actually confident that we can come together. Keeping in mind, among the five conferences, and we've had three new commissioners in the last 2 years. And before that, you had these long legacies. You know, I've said to Jim Delaney, you know, 30 years in the chair, I can't imagine. And I was at John Swofford's retirement 20 plus years. I can't imagine that. I'm in year seven. And so with all the newness, I think it's important that we be able to have candid conversations. We've had some of those, as you can imagine. Yet we need some time of healing, if you will, some restoration. I would expect that to take place because we have a responsibility to lead. And that's why I was so careful about making sure Hunter's reference to numbers was about iterations of a football schedule, the 16-team conference, because, you know, I was receiving calls, hey, I hear you're going to 24 teams or this or that. We had two opportunities for universities, great universities, to reach out and be part of a great conference, and that's what's ahead for our future, and we'll see that represented by a happenstance of non-conference scheduling tomorrow evening.
I used to ask you that every year at Destin about expansion, and finally it got to the point where there was no reason to ask. And based on what you said as we close here, what is, having just seen you take a phone call from the leadership at Texas and Oklahoma, what is there a position of this league, of you, on what happens if someone else calls or several others call and say, we would like to be part of the league?
Yeah, I don't need any phone calls right now. How's that? We just talked about leadership and trust and disruption, so I'm trying to build some trust. The enormity of onboarding two universities to the Southeastern Conference captures all of our attention right now. all of our attention.
So the phone's off the hook.
Did I want to make sure I answered that question.
You did. And I just want to make sure nobody got the wrong impression when I...
I jumped in there and was trying to write.
You're trying to be a talk show host. You don't need to be. You're doing...
People can opine about my effectiveness in the one job I have, so I don't need more.
Although the Greg Sankey Hour would get big numbers at this network if you ever have a spare hour once a week.
When I get to that 30-year number or 23, maybe at some point.
Let's go to phone calls for Greg Sankey. Yeah. That would be a good one.
We'd do that on late night Saturday show after emotions are high and intense. That would be a ratings
draw or
a YouTube clip sensation. Either one.
Commissioner, thank you.
Thanks,
thank you very much.
Always great. Good to see you on campus, head of a great football game, and part of the SEC network.
Thank you so much. We are going to take a break. We're back here in Fayetteville right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Okay, we are going to get phone calls the rest of the way unless something earth-shattering occurs, and you can give us a ring at 855-242-7285. Let's go to Paul in Charlotte. Paul, go right ahead.
Woo pig, Paul. I'm so jealous of you being there. I don't know how I didn't get on the G6 with you. What's the deal?
Wish you had. Listen, it left a little bit late, but next time you're on.
All good. Hey, that sacred ground right below your chair, my son, my grandfather, myself, my great-grandfather, we've all partied there and had a tailgate. My dad was a college Republican, and he was there in the group whenever Nixon got off the airplane for the Texas game on the other side of the end zone from where you're sitting, just on the outside of the stadium. And they had a hog hat and some different things for him. And he turned to these three students and he said, I just need to know what this hog call thing is, because his staff hadn't told him. And that was his first words off the helicopter on kind of a somewhat rainy afternoon.
Fast forward
about, my junior high school year, Lou Holtz is coaching our football team, our FCA group in a football camp. And the very first question, someone, 10-year-old kid, are you going to beat Texas? Second question went by. Third question, are you going to beat Texas? And he looked at everybody and said, what's going on here? And these are 10-year-old kids. That's the world that you're in right now with that history.
No, and I feel like I know a little bit about it. I certainly don't know a lot or what you do, but thankful to be a young college football fan on that December day. And as I've said, I'll never forget it. I mean, I would say of the football memories I've had in my life, I sat there and watched the entire game as a youngster, and it was extraordinary. And I was pulling for Arkansas from a proximity standpoint. I was in Memphis, but it wasn't like I really cared. It was just an amazing, stunning once in a generation type of a game.
Well, and there was a radio celebrity, Crazy Craig O'Neill out of Little Rock, and he was famous for the week of the games. He would call up the Aggies. I remember in Texas, he called them up and he said, you know, he played like he was with Riddell, the helmet factory.
Right.
And he said, hey, we got a bad problem. The athletic director, there's a crack in these helmets. We found a defect. And he went on seriously for two days.
Oh, that's funny.
And they were trying to figure it all out. So there's a lot of fun love between these. Well, there's hatred, too, but there's a lot of fun that's going on with this rivalry.
Well, Paul, I'm sorry you're not here with us, but thanks for sharing the memories. We appreciate it. We're heading to a break. We still have a little bit of time left. Extraordinary conversation with Commissioner Sankey and so many other guests, if you're just getting on board. We also had the athletic director and the head football coach at the University of Arkansas. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We got a big day tomorrow. Marty McGee at 9 Eastern, 8 out here in Razorback land. And then SEC Nation follows that at 10 Eastern, 9 Central. And we are back. And Ark is calling next. Ark, you're on the air. Go right ahead. Mark. Go right ahead, Mark. Okay, we don't hear much. Yeah, call Mark. How about Gerald? Gerald, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Gerald, we're doing great. Thank you for calling.
Oh, yes, sir. Look, I was just wondering, you know, we got SEC. I say we. I love the SEC. We got three teams that's, you know, top five, Georgia, Alabama, and Texas A&M. Now, there's a great scenario that all three of them will only have one loss. And only one of them can be Southeast Conference champions. And what on Clemson's side, they don't got no signature games left, and they lost the only signature game they have this season. But there's a good chance they'll be ACC champions, and they're probably going to get in the playoffs. And one of these three SEC teams that's probably better than them will be left out. How do you justify that? And just tell me what you think about that.
Well, I think Clemson is in big trouble. And, you know, their own league, which has supported them over the years because it's really weak, this time is very well could undo them. Now, there's 13 weeks of the season remaining, but I don't see a path back for them unless there's absolute chaos in college football, which there could be, but I'm not counting on it.
Exactly. But, you know, if they win the ACC, will they be, will the BCS vote them as one of the top four?
Well,
I
know we like to, but you can't say that Clemson is done yet. But if let's say Georgia runs the table and Alabama runs the table, they're both going to the national championship game, regardless of what happens in the title game. And if Ohio State gets in, that's three spots. So now you're down
to
what else?
Then Texas A&M will only have one loss. That would be to Alabama.
Yeah, but that's going to be a problem, though. But Oklahoma, you have Oklahoma, you have Oregon, who even if it loses to Ohio State, will be in better shape. Clemson has serious issues. Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate your call. Donnie is up next. Hey, Donnie.
Hey, Paul. Hey, Mr. Paul Feinbaum, thank you for taking my call. Man, I'm
Donnie.
Supposed to be standing right behind you, get my book signed. I'm so upset, but it's okay. I'm actually going to a baseball tournament for my son.
It's well, I'm sorry,
Donnie,
I miss you.
On the phone. Hey, them Hogs, man, come on. I love your interview with Pittman. I love your interview with everybody. I love seeing you sitting there. I should be right there behind you with the horns down. And I just want to say, woo damn pig, sir. Woo damn pig. Thank you for
well,
taking
Donnie,
my call. Well,
Donnie, thank you. I'm sorry I missed you today. And I'll be around tomorrow all day, all morning and all day. Hey, thank you very, very much. I appreciate it. Jeremy is up next. Hello, Jeremy.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call, man. You got to do me a favor next time. If you're going to put me on national radio, y'all got to give me a warning. I'm doing 85 down the interstate, making my way from Lexington, Virginia to Lexington, Kentucky, and I malpeed myself when I realized I was on national radio.
Well, by the way, that would not be the first time that's happened, but we're glad. You be safe. Don't take a deep breath.
Well, we got this hands-free thing. It's technology nowadays. I just didn't hear about it. This is my wife, Minnie, and we got it loaded down like we're on Vegas vacation. We're heading into the Bluegrass State. We're going to watch the Wildcats take on the Kitty Cats out of Missouri. My boys are making their trip for their first SEC football game, and this is a big thing for us because we've been stuck in ACC land for the past 15 years, and it drives us nuts watching these people talk about football like they know what they're talking about.
Well, they don't. I don't live too far from that area either, and they talk a good game, but they're not particularly intellectual when it comes to college football.
Hey, give me two thoughts on the game for the Cats tomorrow night. But before you do, I'm going to give a shout-out to my big pops down there in Hodgesville, Kentucky. I know he's free-gaming tonight with a bottle of the brown stuff, so I just want to say hi to him. Oh, and, hey, Paul, real quick,
yeah.
My boys want to say hi. Boys?
Hi, Mom!
Now, that sounds like a fun family vacation. Hey, thanks for the call. I like Kentucky tonight. I like Kentucky tomorrow. Larry is in Shelby County, Alabama. Hello, Larry, on this Friday afternoon.
Hey, brother, I had to get in, man. I had to get in to put some Roll Tide all over the place. Yeah, brother, it ain't gonna matter what nobody does. You know they're gonna.
Hey, Larry, I'm a little worried about you tomorrow against Mercer. Can you handle that?
I don't, man. It worries me. I really hate those games. You know, I don't blame you for rubbing it, Paul. I mean, I'd rub it, too. Oh, my God. I hate those games. I hate them. You know, they ain't even worth a 12-pack, you know? I mean, seriously, man. You can't even get a buzz off one of them games. It's heartbreaking. But what are we supposed to do, man? I mean, like Mercer, but if we played Auburn, what would be the difference? I'd be like playing Auburn.
That's pretty funny.
Mercer,
Auburn.
Probably better than Auburn. I mean,
yeah,
were they 24th? They moved up, didn't they? The 24th?
They're 25th, I know, Larry.
Smirky's little team probably be in the playoffs. They love Notre Dame for some reason, Ohio State. Who you like in the playoffs? Give me four real quick, man, before we go. Tell me your four.
I'll start with Alabama.
Woo!
Alabama's second team, Alabama special team,
we'll be right back, baby.
A couple of minutes remaining. You can give us a call right now. We'll take your phone calls, 855-242-7285.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.